In the coming months, I'm inviting you to read with me a book called Active Hope, How to Face the Mess We're In Without Going Crazy by Chris Johnston and Joanna Macy. I'm doing a series of 10 sermons on the book, one per month through June of next year, and today is the second sermon in that series. I started off last month by describing how everything is terrible and falling apart, and has been for a couple of decades at least. That was great, right? We talked about how there are three different ways of understanding what is going on in the world. None of them right or wrong, but just sort of different stories of understanding. The first framework or story is business as usual, meaning everything is fine the way it is. The second story is called the Great Unraveling, meaning everything is broken and hopeless and there's no going back. And the third story is called the Great Turning, meaning we are transitioning, we're going to transition a birth moment from an industrial society committed to economic growth to a life-sustaining society committed to the healing and recovery of our world. The Great Turning is where we are encouraged to commit our energy. That's the place of active hope. And then we also talked last month about three kinds of action. Holding actions that try to stop harmful things from happening. Life-sustaining systems and practices, the kinds of practices that move us deeper into the Great Turning. And the third action is a shift in consciousness, a shift in how we think. These three kinds of action happen simultaneously and are mutually reinforcing. We need all of these actions to affect change. So today we're talking about the shift of consciousness that comes when we understand ourselves as part of what we call the interdependent web of all existence. This is not a new idea to us. As Unitarian Universalists, we affirm and promote that there is such an interdependent web, and that we humans are a part of that web. But how we humans connect and interconnect with each other is tricky business. The yearning for belonging is one of our strongest human desires. We are hurt, sometimes irrevocably, when we don't feel the belonging and acceptance we need from our families of origin. We search all our lives for the friendships and other connections that offer support and affirmation. And as geography limits us less and less, we find ourselves creating communities of belonging for ourselves. So Chalice is just such a community. So how many of us here, raise your hand, were born in Escondido? Nobody. How many born in North San Diego County? Nobody. How many born in San Diego? Some of us. So we are a created community, a self-selected community, and we are a regional community. We have congregants who come here from up to an hour away from all directions. We're not truly a local church. We are here in part because of our deep yearning for a community of shared values to belong to. For most of us, we are comforted to have found this place, and our lives are improved by having this place to commit to, this place to give of ourselves to others. But this is not the only place we find such belonging, of course. We belong to our families. We belong to our neighborhoods. We belong to our cities, our state, our country. These are all shared identities. It means something to me that I'm a Wiley. I'm a San Diegan, I'm a Californian, I'm a Unitarian Universalist, I'm an American. I'm also a woman. I'm a white woman. One of the revelations of the postmodern era that we're in is that it matters that I am a white, female, San Diegan, Californian, American, Unitarian, Universalist. That how I understand the world, how I experience it, is necessarily informed and to a certain extent limited by my social location, as we call that list of factors. We didn't think about this stuff 100 years ago. 100 years ago, we thought there was truth, that truth was something absolute and inarguable. In our world now, it almost seems that there is no truth, that everything is debatable and depends on your point of view. The name that has been put with this in recent years is identity politics. And though that phrase has been in use for over 40 years, it has become particularly provocative in the past year as political scholars debate whether or not identity politics are too divisive. Mark Lila is an American political science and professor of humanities at Columbia University. He wrote an opinion piece for the New York Times last year after the election, in which he wrote, "In recent years, American liberalism has slipped into a kind of moral panic about racial, gender, and sexual identity that has distorted liberalism's message and prevented it from becoming a unifying force capable of governing." He has subsequently written a book expanding on this idea, and since it just came out in August, there have been a flurry of news articles and opinion pieces about it. I am not a politician, and I'm not an analyst. I don't know if identity politics are harming the advancement of progressive ideals. I haven't read Lila's book, and I don't know what evidence he provides to support his thesis. But maybe he's right. But if he's right, I don't think it follows that people of color, that women of color, that LGBTQ people, that all of us should stop sharing our experiences of the world. If hearing the voices and perspectives of a diversity of people is threatening and divisive, then I actually think our work is to talk louder and share more. Difference should not be threatening. Diversity should not be threatening. I'm not sure how progressive ideals can advance at all if we don't understand that there are real differences between us. Differences that come from how the world treats us because of our gender, race, and sexual identities. The irony, of course, is that those of us who have been marginalized because of our gender, race, or sexual identities feel that marginalization is what has made those identities so important. I never thought of myself as a woman first until the world treated me as a woman first. So I've responded by becoming a feminist. I celebrate how great it is to be a woman, how powerful, and I savor the sense of belonging I feel with other women. And now I'm told that my identity politics are holding back progressive ideals. Well, identity politics were forced on me, just as they've been forced on people of color who can't help but notice how differently they are treated by the police and our legal systems, legal and justice systems. Just as identity politics have been forced on gay people and trans people and queer people and everyone who isn't white, male, and heterosexual. There's nothing wrong with being white, male, and heterosexual, but there is nothing wrong with the rest of us either. We all have inherent worth and dignity. As Unitarian Universalists, pluralism is one of our highest ideals. Our reverence for diversity is what sets us apart from all other religious traditions. I don't mean that it's easy. We certainly have our struggles. But we struggle because we are striving to live our ideals and because true pluralism isn't easy. It's not easy because pluralism, the coexistence of differences, threatens that sense of belonging we so deeply yearn for, right? If you come to Chalice because you are tired of having the idea of a judging God in the sky preached at you, and you initially love that you never hear the word God in the worship service, and then the day comes when you do hear the word God in the worship service, and I remind you that some of us believe in God and some of us don't, that can be a threatening moment. Yes. The moment of wonder, is this the place I thought it was? Do I belong here? There will always come a moment as a Unitarian Universalist when you wonder if this faith is still the faith for you. It is simply part of our UU experience. It might not be about God or not God. It could be about any of 100 things. You thought we all favored gun control, or we are all pro-choice, or we're all interested in angels, or we all enjoy the music of Josh Groban. Whatever it is, the moment will come when our pluralism bumps up against your sense of belonging. And you will question. You will question. I think that's at least a thread of what's happening at a national level, maybe even a global level. We yearn for belonging. And instead, we are confronted constantly with our differences. Social media and all of our immediate connectedness brings us face to face all day long with our differences. For the longest time, it was considered progressive to not think about racial identity. It was progressive to say, I don't see color. But now those of us who are white are learning that to try to ignore color is hurtful, that it's dismissive of beauty and pride. The challenge of pluralism is to maintain and celebrate our individualities, our uniqueness, to take comfort and strength from all our communities of belonging, and to still know ourselves part of a larger and interconnected whole. Diversity is not divisive. We're a mosaic. We're a patchwork quilt. We're an interdependent web. Chris Johnston and Joanna Macy write, "For a complex system to self-organize and function well, it requires both the integration and the differentiation of its parts. Complex organisms such as our bodies require many different types of cells, and a resilient ecosystem requires high levels of biodiversity. Compare that with monocrop agriculture, in which rows and rows of the same plant growing the same way might look ordered, but are dependent on chemical inputs and vulnerable to changing conditions. It is similar with human beings. We don't need to be like the Borg in Star Trek, robbed of free will and individuality, to experience ourselves as connected parts of a larger whole. The courage to listen to our conscience and live our own truth is integral to joining, rather than merging, with the larger circles of life we'll belong to." End quote. The great turning is the transition to a life-sustaining society committed to the healing and recovery of our world. That life-sustaining society will honor the differences between us not fear them, and not dismiss them. May we commit ourselves to the great turning, the move to sustain life, the awareness of our interdependence, and the willingness to see what is. May it be so.